Hebrews chapter 9 and the verse 28. We read the verse, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." I want to draw your attention to the words, "Unto them that look for him shall he appear." Looking for the Lord Jesus, that is our subject tonight. There is a people that are referred to in our text. They are called by the pronoun them. Them. Now, there are two things about this people. The first thing is they are seekers. They look for him. And the second thing is they are finders. To them he shall appear. Seekers and finders. That is a description of this people. Now, there are things, of course, people are always seeking for things. Even the world is looking for things. Even the world is seeking for things. They're not seeking for Jesus, and they're not looking for Christ. But nevertheless, it is the story of every human being that they are looking for something. And the world is looking for something. The world is looking for peace. The world is looking for happiness. The world is looking for satisfaction. They are not looking for a person. They are looking for joy. And they seek this joy usually in things. And at the end of their life, they're going to be greatly disappointed, because things do not satisfy. Their pursuits, their looking, will come to an end and a bitter disappointment, and they'll be left with nothing to hold. But the people in our text are not disappointed. The people in our text will not be dissatisfied, because the people that look for him, at the end of the day, he shall appear to them, and they will be abundantly satisfied. "For I shall be satisfied," the psalmist says, "when I awake with thy likeness." So the seekers of him are finders of him as well. So then the first thing is that they are seeking for him. It is described in our text as looking for him. Them that look for him. Now, I will consider the word look, which is an interesting word, in a moment. But I want to emphasize, first of all, the pronoun, him. They are looking for him. Now, the context tells us that that is Christ. Verse 28, Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him. And so the people in the text are taken up with Jesus Christ. They're taken up with a person. They are looking for him. They're not looking for fame. They're not looking for mere knowledge. They are not pursuing strange experiences. They're not even looking preeminently for joy or peace or happiness. They're not looking for those things. They are looking for a person. They're looking for him, for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, they are a Christ-centered people. Christians are a Christ-centered people. They're interested in the Savior. They want to know the Savior. They want to see the Savior. That's what they desire. That's what they seek after. Now, that's not a natural thing. You're not born with that. We're born seeking other things. The Bible says, all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. All. Every man by nature, he just seeks the things of himself. It's not a natural thing to seek him, to be looking for him. But when grace comes, it's different. This is not a worldly, fleshly thing. Christ has no magnetism to the ungodly and the unconverted. The Bible tells us that he grows up as a tender plant out of a dry ground. And the world doesn't expect anything to come out of a dry ground. But Christ grows as a tender plant comes out of the dry ground, and he has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, the unconverted say, when we shall see him, there is no beauty in him that we should desire him. He has no magnetism to the unconverted, but to them in the text, he has magnetism. They're looking for him. They are seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, this only comes about when God works in the heart. And when the Holy Spirit moves in regeneration, that's when a man becomes a seeker, becomes a looker onto Jesus and a looker for Jesus and becomes a follower of him. Are you looking for him tonight? Is your heart set on the person of Jesus Christ? Not on things, not on peace and joy and contentment. Those things come with Christ, but they are not the be-all and end-all. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're looking for him. And so if you study the Bible and you study the people of God in the Bible, you find that they have preeminently this desire, this longing. You remember how the Apostle Paul said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He's taken up with the person of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For whom I've suffered the loss of all things, he says, and account them all that were lost dung, he says, that I may win him. And then he says, oh, that I might know him. Him. Looking unto him. Taken up with a person. You remember how the psalmist expressed it? Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none that I desire upon the earth beside thee. Looking for him, this people. Now, of course, this desire for Christ and seeking after the Lord Jesus can change in intensity. There are various degrees according as our frame is in the things of God, but he is always the chiefest of 10,000 to our soul. And the loss of him is to our heart and thought an unspeakable loss. And when it comes to the crunch, we'd rather lose all things than lose him. So we'll look for him. Now, it's not a natural thing, but it's a thing that grace brings to the heart of the converted. And while it is not a natural thing, it certainly is a wise thing, isn't it? It's a wise thing to look for him. It's a good thing, the Bible says, to seek the Lord. This is a blessed people. They're a wise people. They're wise. The Bible talks about being wise unto salvation. And that's what they are. They're looking for him and they're wise unto salvation. And flesh and blood hasn't revealed that unto them, but they've been taught by God. Now, they're looking for him. The question is then, where are they looking for him? Where do the people of God look for him? Well, they look for him in the Word. That's why they come to the Bible. To see him. Doesn't the Bible say, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, search the scriptures. They are they which testify of me. He's giving them an incentive and a motive to search the Scriptures. Why would we search the Scriptures? Why would we put all our time into that? Why would we put all our effort, the hour or so each day of our precious time, into just sitting and searching the Scriptures? Why would we do that? Because they testify of Him. We're looking for Him. And because we're looking for Him, we spend time in the Word. They're looking for Him in the Word. That's why the Bible says His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth He meditate day and night. Why would the child of God do that? They're looking for Him. They're looking for Him when they read Moses. Jesus says, He wrote of me, and they're looking for Him. And when they study the tabernacle, what are they? They're looking for Him. They're looking for Him all the time. And so that's why they read the Word, looking for Him. Unto them that look for Him. So they're looking in their Bibles. And then they look for Him in His house on the Lord's day. I trust that's why we come preeminently and supremely to the house of God, to look for Him. We know it is His day, the day of our risen Lord. We know it's a day where He wants us to assemble ourselves together in a place. And of course, we have a comfortable house. The house isn't important. It's just the assembling that's important. But we are thankful to God He's given us a comfortable meeting place. But we come here, why? Looking for Him. I trust that that is so. You come here every week looking for Him, and even say it, even tell the Lord it. I'm coming to Thy house today, Lord, and I'm coming looking for Thee. I need to have a meeting with Thee. I want to get a fresh glimpse of Thee. And so we're looking for Him in His house. We're coming to find Him on His day and to meet with Him and just to get a blessing from Him. And certainly to worship the Father through Him. We're looking for Him to worship the Father through, and we're looking for Him for the Father to channel the blessing down into our hearts. Our mediator in His house. You remember how the psalmist said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Why? To behold the beauty of the Lord. To see Him. To see His beauty. Oh, you look for Him. You look for Him to see His beauty. You come to His house to see His beauty. Looking for Him. Looking for Him in His house. And then we look for Him in the preaching, don't we? You as the people of God expect this pulpit to proclaim Him. This is not a Jewish pulpit. It's a Christian pulpit. And what makes a Christian pulpit so different from a Jewish pulpit, or from any other pulpit for that matter? It is because this pulpit preaches Him. And you expect to see Him in the preaching. And you are looking for Him in the preaching. And if you don't find Him in the preaching, you go home, you complain. And you say, "He didn't bring us to Christ today. He didn't show us Him. We were looking for Him. We were looking for Him in the proclamation during that 35 minutes or whatever. We were looking for Him. We wanted to see Jesus." And so the people of God, you rightly expect that. And you rightly expect the preacher to proclaim Him. And to every preacher, you would say, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And you're just quite right to demand that. And so you want in your pulpit a Paul, don't you? And what did Paul do? Well, Paul, if we follow him, he opened and alleged out of the Scriptures that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. And this Jesus whom I preach unto you is that Christ. That's Paul. Opening what? Opening out of the Scriptures and alleging out of the book of God, Christ. And Jesus is that Christ. His suffering, His death, His resurrection. He preached Christ. And the people were looking for Him in the preaching. You remember how Paul said, "We preach not ourselves." No, we wouldn't expect that, Paul. And we don't expect that of any Christian preacher. We don't preach ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus our Lord. We preach Him. because you're looking for him in the preaching. You expect that. And Paul, whenever he came among the Corinthians, he says, I determine to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so we want a preacher like Paul in our pulpits. We want apostolic men in our pulpits. What were the apostolic men like? Daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They never ceased preaching Christ. That's all they did in the temple. What did they do? Taught and preached Jesus Christ. In every house, if there was a church in this house or a church in that house, whatever house it was, they didn't cease teaching and preaching Jesus Christ because the people were looking for him. They're looking for him. They want a man like Philip, beginning at the same scripture. He preached unto him Jesus. So we're looking for him in the preaching. And when we're looking for him, the people of God are looking for him at his table. At his table. And every month we have the communion together. And why do we have the communion? Because it's the Lord's table. And he invites us and he says, this is my body and this is my blood and this do in remembrance of me. And it's his table. And so if it's his table, he's there. He's present. And we come to the table and we're looking for him. And we expect to see him and even to handle him and to taste him by faith. There is this experience of Christ at his table. And so the Christians just don't go through the form, just sit there like little robots. No, we're looking for him. Looking for him in the ordinance of the table. We'll look for him in baptism too. Whenever that sign is set forth before us in his form among us, we're looking for him. And we look for him to be in the midst of us in all our meetings. And when we go to the throne of grace, what are we doing? We're looking for him. Our mediator, to eye him, to present us to the Father. We're always looking for Christ. This is a description of the people of God, them that look for him. There are other places we look for him as well. We look for him in our trials. Whenever we go through the waters, and he says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And he says, when you go through the fire, I'll be with you. And we're looking for him. And if we're like those three who are threw into the fiery furnace, we know he's about. And we're looking for him. We're especially looking for him in our trials. He can't be far off because he's promised to be near. And so we're looking. We're looking. We're looking to see him. We're looking to get a word from him. We're looking to be comforted by him. We're looking to feel his touch in our adversity. To give us that peace that the peace giver and the Prince of Peace gives us in the midst of our trials. We're looking for him in our trials. We're always looking for Jesus. Like that man on his deathbed. Yes, even on our deathbed, that's another place. We're looking for him even then. Like that dear old saint, forget who it was, as he was finishing up with his family and saying his last words. Now he says, where is that sweet, fair Lord Jesus? We look for him in providence also, in the little events, the little timings, and all the situations that come together and occur. For we know he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he sits upon his throne, and there's nothing happens outside his will. And so in his providences in our lives, we are always looking for him. Looking for his leading, looking for his grace, who has said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Looking for his help in our weakness, looking for his pardon and mercy in our falls, looking for his comfort in our distresses, looking for his presence in our loneliness, looking for his assurance in our doubts, looking for his strength in our frailty, looking for his joy to sustain us, because he said, my joy I give to you. Always looking for him, looking for his intervention in our problems, and last of all, looking for him to return. Because he is at the right hand of God, and our conversation is in heaven, and we're looking for him to come and to appear. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking for him to bring in the last day. Looking for him to usher in the end of all things. Looking for him to bring this wicked world to a conclusion, and to raise all the dead, and to usher in the judgment, and to bring in the new heavens and the new earth. And this word, Luke, is a very special word. It only occurs about 8 times in the New Testament. And sometimes there are other words for Luke, but sometimes this particular word is translated Luke, but other times it is translated wait. Them that wait for him. And of course, both ideas are present in the word. There are two thoughts latent in the word: the thought of watching and the thought of waiting. You see, it's not automatic. You just look out and you see him. No, it's not like that. You have to look for him. You have to watch. And watching involves waiting. Waiting. And so it's a bit like a postman. If you're looking for the postman, you look out the window, but you don't see him. But you're expecting him. You know he's coming. You know that their letters have been sent to you, and they're on their way. And you know the post office has a covenant that every day the postman will go out to your door. So you're expecting him. Because there's a promise of the post office, and the fact that letters have been sent, and you're looking. Oh, when will he come? When will he appear? He's coming. I'm looking for him. I'm waiting for him. So that's just a wee feeble illustration of watching and waiting and what it all means. So you have this expectancy and this faith and this expectancy, and you're watching and you're waiting with expectancy. And it's something like that with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have his promises. He promises to come to us in our trials. He promises to comfort us with his word. He promises to bless us and to show him and manifest himself to us under the means of grace. And so we expect it. We have expectancy. We expect to come to God's house and see him. We expect to hear the preaching and have an encounter of some kind with him. We expect it. He's appointed it. He's promised it. And so we come with expectancy, with faith, watching, and also waiting. Always for him. And so it takes time, doesn't it? It's not automatic and instant. We have to pray over the scriptures. We have to search the scriptures. We know that they testify of him, but we just don't open the page and all of a sudden he jumps out. No, but we have to read and to search and to pray and to meditate. And we know that if we look for him, we shall find him. And so it's this watching and waiting that is expected of the people of God. And Christians are that. They're watchers and waiters for the Lord Jesus Christ to appear, to come to their souls and to bless them. It's the same at the Lord's table. It's the same in our trials. There are times when he doesn't seem to be present, but we know he's promised. And we have this faith and this expectancy, and we're waiting. Oh, when wilt thou come and comfort me? We're waiting for thee, Lord. And so the child of God is characterized by this looking. And it's the same for the second coming, isn't it? The church has been looking and watching and waiting for a very, very long time. It is a thing that's been promised, and we've waited for 2,000 years. And we still believe it. And we're still watching for his appearing. And we're still looking and waiting for His coming. And we know it will come. We just don't know when. But it's promised. There's a covenant about the matter. I'll come again. And we are believing and have expectancy and are waiting. Waiting. And so we never stop that. And the church, bless God, the church for 2,000 years has not yet stopped watching and waiting for Jesus Christ. And we never shall. Even though the ungodly will say to us, where is the promise of His coming? We don't care what they say. We're watching and waiting. They're characterized then by looking for Him. But then secondly and lastly, to them that look for Him shall He appear. To all lookers He is an appearer. To them that seek Him, they find Him. Those that wait for Him are never disappointed. He shall appear to them. That's a promise, that's what it says, and that's what it is in the experience of God's people. If you've set your heart on Him, on Jesus Christ, if you've set your heart on His lovely person, and on His sweet and glorious person, He will manifest Himself to you. If you seek Him, you'll find Him. And certainly if you do it early, you will. And you little children, you should seek Him early. Oh, how quick you'll find Him when you seek Him early. He'll have a special place for you little children if you seek Him early. Oh, He'll bring you in ever so closely to Himself. And He'll bless you. He'll bless you. And He'll use you. And He'll appear to you. Them that seek Me early shall find Me. And so, this is a promise. You see, in a sense, the Savior is a Savior who hideth Himself. That's a Bible expression. Isaiah 45:15, verily, Thou art a God that hidest Thyself. And the psalmist said, why standest Thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest Thou Thyself at times? He is. He's one who hides Himself. He wants to be looked for. It's a bit like hide and seek. Some of you children were playing hide and seek yesterday. And you were hiding. And they had to come and find you. And sometimes the Lord's like that. He wants to be found. He wants you to find Him. And He's hiding Himself so that you'll find Him. He likes that. He wants that. And He wants to be found. He wants you to find Him. To them that look for Him, shall He appear? He'll be found. He'll be found. And so He shows Himself. So you look for Him in the Word, and you look for Him in the preaching, and you look for Him at the table, and you look for Him in their trials, and you look for Him at your deathbed, and He'll appear. You'll find Him. You'll find Him. Remember how the Lord Jesus said, He that hath My commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth Me, and he that loveth Me shall be loved of My Father, and I will love him, and will manifest Myself to him. I'll manifest Myself to him. Oh, you know, the Lord Jesus will manifest Himself to us every Sunday if we look for Him. And many times has He manifest Himself to us at this table. And many times has He manifested Himself to us in His Word. Oh, He keeps His Word. Remember how we read this morning, everybody left Me, Paul said. They all went, and he gave a list of some of them. But he says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with Me and strengthened Me. I couldn't see anybody. They all disappeared. But there was one who appeared for My help. And He stood with Me. That was the Lord Jesus. He appeared that by Him the preaching might be fully known. Do you remember how the Lord Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with Me. That's an encounter. That's a manifestation. That's an appearing of Jesus Christ to the soul who just lets His Savior in for fellowship. To them that look for Him shall He appear. He'll come. He'll come. And read the Song of Solomon. It's all about this, isn't it? The bride's weary. Oh, when will He come? And then He comes. He's leaping over the hills and skipping over the mountains and through the valleys. And He's coming. And He appears at the lattice in the window You remember how he appears? It's all there in the Song of Solomon. That's it. That's it in a wee nutshell of the experience of the saints. Looking for him. And he appears and he manifests himself and he ravishes their hearts and they see him. And he's the fairest of 10,000 and the altogether lovely one to my soul. Because when you see him, he's beautiful. So it's all this grand fulfillment of the text. To them that look for him shall he appear. But of course the great fulfillment of it all very quickly is in the future yet. Whenever the church at the last day. Because in this text the second appearing is prominent. You see that there unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And so the appearing in the context that particularly stands out in mind is the second coming. There was a first appearing when he come among men at the first coming. And the church is looking for him. And there'll be the second appearing, and he'll appear unto them, all of them. You see, that's why the Lord hasn't come back yet, because not all the living stones have been planted in the temple. But when the last living stone has been planted in the temple, that whole temple that has been looking for him, he'll appear to them when they're all completed. He'll appear to them the second time, and his appearance will have two characteristics. First of all, it'll be without sin. An appearance without sin. Because the first time he appeared with sin, you know. Your sin and my sin. He was carrying it. He was burying it on himself. He was burying it to the cross and he was burying it on the tree. He was identified with our sin in his first appearing. But he put it away in the sacrifice of himself. So when he comes the second time, oh, there'll be none of our sin there. That's all gone. As far as the east is from the west, it's all gone. He comes a second time and appears without our sin. So he went away with it. He went away with it, and he comes back again, and he hasn't got it anymore. All our sin. That's our Savior. He's took it all away. So he appears a second time without sin, and then he appears a second time unto salvation. The first time he came for salvation, to purchase it, to buy it, to obtain it. But when he comes back the second time, it's not for salvation. He's already got the for salvation. But it's unto salvation, to enter into the fullness of it, in the new heavens and the new earth. But when he comes back the second time, it's a great open door unto that salvation. Which we just have a little foretaste of now, really, on earth. That's all we have. We just get a wee spoonful of salvation now. But you see, when he comes back again, the whole door opens unto salvation. And that's why he'll be admired in all them that see him when he appears. The blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He was once offered to bear the sins of many, first coming, unto them that look for him the second time without sin, unto salvation. And so you see, this is our Lord Jesus Christ. What does the Bible say? Now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And they shall see his face, the appearing, and his name shall be on their forehead. His name. Are you looking for him? Do you have a desire for him? Do you seek Jesus Christ every day? Do you want to see him? Do you want to get a glimpse of him? Are you longing for his return? Are you looking for him? Keep looking for him. He'll appear soon enough.